Hello and welcome back for another edition of Tipsy Wednesday, presented from the Penthouse Bar. I'm your host this evening, Thomas, and with me as usual, Björn.
Greetings, greetings.
Junior.
Hello, hello.
So how are we this fine evening?
Tired, apparently, Junior.
Tired, apparently.
Yeah, he's not the only one. I'm craving for the bed myself.
Craving,
yeah, I need it. I really need sleep.
Cravings, isn't that something you get with food when you're hungry?
Yeah, but I
crave for food.
You see, I have no problem having or living my life with little sleep as long as I'm just tired at work and then wake up when I get home and want to do stuff.
Ah.
But when I get home and I'm still tired and I'm almost falling asleep by watching TV, it's a problem. I need to sleep.
Yeah. So you want to be awake for the important stuff in life?
Yeah, basically. I was watching some Star Trek and I had some anime to watch, but I couldn't stay focused. So
yeah, it sucks when that happens.
I need more sleep tonight. So when this is done, I'm going straight to bed.
Mm.
So this is your measurement of tiredness, I guess?
Yep.
When you cannot perform at home.
I cannot perform at home. Then if I'm sleepy and grumpy at work, it doesn't matter. It's just work.
Yeah. It's just your colleagues. It's just your income. You can be an asshole at work, right?
Yeah. But at home, when I want to do my stuff, I need to be awake.
With your children.
I'm with Thomas here because work is only enabling you to do what you really want. Work shouldn't be your life. Your life shouldn't be work.
Well, you know, some people work to live and some people live to work, so...
Yeah,
I hate to say it. It's kind of hard to hire someone who's an a-hole and doesn't want to work.
But I'm already hired, so
so it's not possible to fire you, I guess.
No, it's really hard to fire someone in a way. So
yeah, but it's not impossible.
It's not impossible, but it's hard. And I'm doing a great job. If I'm grumpy at work, it will only be towards my colleagues and not towards the other people.
I kind of am I misunderstanding? You're doing a great job at getting fired?
No. At my job, I'm doing a great job. At work, I'm doing my work really great.
Okay.
The only times I'm actually grumpy at work is when I have to deal with
dishes.
The drug addicts.
Dishes. Women.
Women are okay. They do the dishes. It's fine.
I assume you don't, but do you go by the saying that goes something along the lines of the customer is always right?
No. Customer doesn't do shit.
What? Are you asking the security guard?
No.
The customers.
Because
he's always right.
Did you steal that? No. Okay. Bye. Okay.
But I just, a fun fact, that's not the whole saying as we know it for people in the, what do you call it? When you're working as an employee at a regular shop or a restaurant.
Clerk, shop clerk, or whatever.
The saying isn't only the customer is always right. The full saying is the customer is always right in matters of taste.
Does that apply However, to works so that aren't
that, which related? Makes a whole lot more sense, but at one point in time, some asshole employer figured it would be convenient for him or her to just cut out half of that phrase and just say, the customer is always right, so you have to bend your ass and let them fuck you in the ass.
What?
You have to bend that's over kinda, and let them fuck
yeah, but
in
that's kind of harsh.
No, but that's just Google it. The whole saying is,
yeah, but
the customer is always right in matters of taste. That's the whole saying.
The customer is always right to fuck you in the ass.
I kind of, that's... making an extreme example of it, though. But
yeah,
if you're,
kind of,
if you're
I'll tell you what, the customers are NPCs walking about, knowing nothing. They don't know what they want. They're just there.
What?
On a huge shopping mall. Do you know how many people that are just there for no apparent reason?
Yeah, but haven't you been the guy who's just shops?
Yeah, shops. Yeah, but I go to the shopping mall, I shop, and I go home. I don't come to the shopping mall, just wander around with my friends for hours on end, and then go home without buying anything. What's the reason of being at the shopping mall if you aren't supposed to shop while you're there?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You have to buy something, but you're like the alpha male. You know exactly what you want. I want burgers for dinner. I go straight to the mall, straight for the burgers, and straight home.
Basically, yeah, if I have to go out to the shopping mall when I'm not at work, I plan what I want to do there before I go there so I can go in, do the things I need to do, and get home as fast as fucking possible.
I got all the exit strats. I know where the fire alarms are. I can hit them with a sudden bomb. I can do a backflip. Don't you buy soda or anything else when you're at the shop? Just doing regular shopping, I guess? Strolling? Are you always 100% focused?
As a customer, I'm always focused because I want to get home as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm. During your grocery shops. I don't find this to be any true at all.
Yes, yes.
No.
If I go to the shopping mall to buy pants, I will go to a shop that sells pants, I will find the pants, I will buy them, I will go home, and I will try them on at home, not at the shopping mall.
So Thomas's point here is that the people who are just venturing into shopping malls, not doing anything in particular, just wandering around, they are probably just NPCs in place for the main characters around.
That's true. Also, most people that comes to the shopping mall and do nothing are like teens. They just hang around and they shout and they run around and they do all kind of shit. Yeah. And I have to deal with it.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about those kind of... Now I'm talking about your shopping habits. Do you always
usually I do what I'm not allowed to do. And I shop during work hours, so I don't have to spend time at the mall after work hours.
Mm. Yeah, of course.
Right. I use money while making money.
Smart.
I usually take a shit while making money.
Yeah. It's important to shit at work.
Yeah, shit at work.
Shit while you get paid for doing it. And the same goes as I'm working on a shopping mall. Like 1 hour before my shift is over, I will stroll into a clothing shop or whatever and buy the things I needed, or walk into the comic book shop and buy the books and figurines I needed and whatever.
Yeah, but it sounds like you always got this plan to shop. While you're going to a comic book store, do you always know what specific comic you want?
Yeah, the next number from what the rocker is reading.
From what you already have.
Yeah, but how do you discover new stuff?
I see when I'm looking for the next number. So next time I'm going there, it would be Shield Hero Book 23, right?
No. So you are just looking for Shield Hero 23. Then you're going to S and H. And anything between is off the bookshelf, right?
No, because I have a couple of other books as well, like Goblin Slayer and some others. So I walk around the place where all the manga books are. And usually the people that works there that know me, well, kind of say, yeah, we got this new Isekai manga, you should check it out. So I don't need to look for it, because they already know what I'm reading.
Oh, did you spend 30 minutes extra to get some recommendations? That's not how your shopping routine is.
No, they just mention it while I'm paying for my shit, or when I place my shit to pay for it, and they will say...
No. I'm imagining you just walking straight past the cashier, straight past everything, getting your books. And they are shouting, Thomas, look at this manga! And you're like...
You're not completely off, because I do that when I walk in. I'll just say, hey, and walk over to the manga books, pick the books I already read, go to the cashier, and then they will say, yeah, we got this, or we got the new Witcher merch.
I'm not even going shopping with you guys.
Do it easy. But while at work, I might be talking to them during the workday, because as a security guard, I should stop and talk with people in the stores, check out how things are going. So they might give me a hint that next week we're getting this and this, or then I might swing by in a week's time and see what did you get. So yeah.
Smart shopper.
Yeah. Last week, my son said... He wanted to go to the mall, and I was like, what do you need? And he was like, I don't know. I'm like, why are you going to the mall if you don't know what you're going to buy? What's the point? Then you're just there doing nothing, walking around, being a nuisance. Yeah.
But okay, you got your shopping list, right?
Yeah.
Very detailed, and you want a pack of milk or something, right? And they don't have a milk. Does your whole world collapse?
No, I have 3 fucking grocery stores at the mall at the moment. So if one doesn't have it, I bet one of the other 2 has.
Junior, forgive me for asking, but where do you intend to go with this? What?
No, I'm just.
It's just amazed arrest? By my shopping habits.
I just like, holy hell, dude.
By his lack of browsing, by his lack of shopping around.
You see, the thing is, I work at the mall. I'm there like 9 hours a day. I get to window shop a lot while making my rounds and whatnot, so I can plan ahead, and then I know now's the time to buy. I will just go bam, 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 doing all the things I've already
seen. So you're saying you're window shopping before you're actually shopping?
Yeah, because I work there, so I see stuff the whole fucking day during work.
Okay, so you are window shopping.
Everyone, it's impossible to work at the shopping mall and do rounds on the shopping mall and not notice anything. Because it's my job to notice stuff.
Yeah, but it sounds like you have a plan for what you're supposed to eat for dinner each day, right? And it's not like...
I never have a plan for what I'm eating for dinner. I get home from work, I will look in the freezer and see what's there. Or in the morning before I go to work, so I can pick it up.
Do you always have something in the freezer?
Yes, because I shop a lot once a week. And I fill up my freezer, my fridge and everything.
Yes.
So there's always, there's always something. Like yesterday I did some barbecue marinated chicken and that was good shit. Today I had beef. Yeah.
I feel like I myself am not that good of a weekly planner. I usually go to the groceries like 2 or 3 times a week. I buy just dinner for like 1 or 2 or 3 days at most.
I'm a father. I have kids. I need to plan ahead.
Yeah. So, makes sense then.
But yeah, before we go on to the topics that are written down, I heard something funny today.
Ooh.
While listening to another podcast.
Oh, so stealing ideas.
Yeah. We all know the land of the rising sun, right?
What? No.
Yes.
Japan.
No. Ah, yeah. The flag.
And I think it's in Tokyo. I might be wrong, but they have gotten these new toilets for the public to use. And the walls are basically see-through both ways. But when you enter the toilet and the lights come on, the walls turn black or something, so you can't see in or out.
Okay.
Some technology stuff like the
they aren't transparent windows that aren't transparent when you don't want them to.
Yeah. So basically, when you go in, lock the door, the walls turn not transparent. But I heard today they were out of order. Turns out the glasses don't turn. Not transparent at the moment, so you can't use the toilet. And I was thinking, imagine if there was someone using the toilet the moment it stopped working. So you're mid-shit and suddenly all of Tokyo can see you sitting on the toilet. How do you get off the toilet? Are you just going to wipe your ass with people watching? Or do you keep sitting there and all of a sudden someone comes and fixes the transparent walls?
Well, when you're halfway there, then just finish your business, I guess. It'll be awkward as fuck, of course, but hey, what's your choice? Just what choices do you have?
Yeah, you don't have any choice because you're already doing it, so...
Yeah, so you can finish up or just keep sitting there. It's
keep your dominance. Keep shitting. And
look everyone in the eyes that's passing you.
And don't get a boner.
That would be awkward.
Imagining if that was what he did on the toilet.
Yeah, holy
he was horny as fuck and went on the toilet and doing a little jerk-off session, the walls just bah, everyone can see.
Could that that particular individual then be charged for exposure?
Yeah, I think so.
If the walls suddenly malfunctioned, would that be that person's fault then?
No,
it would be an unfortunate exposure, but
yeah, I imagine you could say something about it being one way, right? That you can look out.
No, Junior. No.
Why
Junior.
Would you sit on the toilet taking a shit, watching people pass by?
Wait, was I the only one that heard him say the Wong way?
The Wong way?
I didn't get that.
I thought you said it was the Wong way.
What? Like some
sorry. Yeah. on our way to being cancelled here, but okay.
Anyway, I think that the transparent walls though would work well as glasses in your whole house, maybe.
Until they malfunction.
But it wouldn't matter if they just as windows, not as walls. Imagine it's really sunny out and you're going to watch TV and the windows could just turn black or whatever.
Yeah.
That would be neat. Like, but who thinks, let's make transparent walls for a toilet in the public?
Well, someone has to do
it. That's a neat PR stunt, PR trick. It's a neat gimmick that may draw people to that area for...
Testing the toilet?
I don't know. It attracts tourism. Hey, we're talking about it here in Norway.
Yeah.
So it attracts some kinds of attention. So
yeah, but imagine standing in line for that toilet.
And also the Japanese toilet with the heated toilet rings and the
air dryer and
the air and hot water in your ass. And
yes.
True decadence.
Yeah.
Thinking of the South Park episode where Randy goes to the VIP toilet, the real expensive stuff. And he gets to the Japanese toilets.
You know, they work with the remote controls, some of them.
Yes,
they have a panel control. And I saw a YouTuber taking that controller at a friend's house. So when the friend went to his toilet, the other guy was in the living room pushing all the buttons for hot water and what the other guy was taking it up.
That's a shitty thing to do.
It is, but it was fun as hell.
Yeah, imagining being...
when you're at your most vulnerable.
Yeah, and you got your poop halfway out your ass and then your stream of water comes... through your poop, right? imagine battling your own poop with a stream of water. This is getting really poopy, I guess.
Yeah. Shady?
I wonder if those toilets will catch on in the rest of the world or if it is going to stay a Japanese phenomenon.
I'm imagining it's getting more and more traction.
I think it'll become a thing that'll become normal in the future sometime, where we'll think back 10, 20, 30 years like, oh, in the old days we had to use toilet wipes because we didn't have fancy toilets that flushed your ass.
Imagining cutting down the trees for wiping your ass. And then some rich guy pulls out the toilet paper. Oh, I got a tree in my hand.
Oh no, how vile.
How vile. It's true.
Evil.
I'm wiping my ass.
With dead trees.
Fuck that, them that's, trees.
That's a bit like taking a shit in the bush. Because then you actually use grass and trees to wipe your ass.
Yeah.
I shit on thee, nature.
Well, anyways,
are we going anywhere with this? Or no. Are we just talking shit here?
Now we're just talking shit, literally, as we do sometimes. So, Bjorn, you're on fire with topics this week.
I've tried to be.
Shall we start Fallout impressions thus far?
Yes,
the Fallout, a new show on Amazon Prime. Prime Video.
Yes, and don't and spoil I'll be brief. It. And you haven't watched one episode yet?
Almost.
You almost watched an episode, but that's not
because I figured at this point we could at least talk about the first episode for anyone who would be interested in the show. I'll assume they've watched at least one episode.
How many episodes in are you, Bjorn?
Two.
I've also just watched two episodes.
Oh!
And the second episode was amazing.
Yeah, it really... no. Should we leave it a spoiler warning for the first episode only?
Well, he haven't watched it yet, so we should try it.
You've almost watched the entirety of the first episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost the entirety. Yeah, I thought he had almost watched it. Like, he was about to watch it and then changed his mind.
No, I got
almost
like,
watched all of it.
I got like a quarter left or something.
Okay, so let's try to keep it as spoiler-free as possible.
Yeah, well, I
because you can take the comparisons with the games, because the setup is quite similar, isn't it?
Yeah, but I kind of feel like they spent a whole episode on the vault cozy atmosphere setting, and I understand it for setup purposes. You're establishing characters, we're being slowly introduced to the few characters who matter eventually.
In my mind, the first episode was a bit long.
Yeah, okay. That's what I felt as well. It was like I started watching this for the Fallout Wasteland stuff, not for the Vault stuff. I know the Vault is, but that's coming from a person who's played quite a few of the games. But I imagine it may be different for someone who's just new to the Fallout universe as a whole.
I didn't play the games, but I know you start or you. The games basically start with you as the character leaving the vault, right?
You grow up in the vault. You do everything in the vault, and then you are tossed out, and then
yes,
the whole tutorial level is the vault.
Oh, okay.
Usually in most of the games, yes.
Yeah, kind of.
That's the top. What is the waltz and everything? Why are we there?
Oh, the plot of the show. I was going to spoil Fallout, the grand plot.
You can't.
It's not. Spoil it's it. Not a huge secret, though.
I think they know there's going to be a nuclear war at some point, so they build huge waltz underground.
Doomsday shelters, which house just not a family but several families, and it's supposed to be sustainable for a few hundred years, so that the survivors who are surviving a potential nuclear apocalypse on the surface will outlive it and resurface a few hundred years later. To
not the same people, but their kids.
Not the
kids,
same people, kids. But several generations live in the vaults and then resurface once the surface is safe to re-enter. That was the whole mentality. And for a few vaults, that has worked to some extent, and others it has worked actually brilliantly, apparently, as in the Vault 33. We're introduced to where the main setting
is
starting.
They are a thriving society.
Yes, but needless to say, without spoiling too much, things go south eventually. And, no surprise, the main actor has to leave the vault, or wants to leave the vault for some... for her personal reasons, which will spoil the first episode. But, the main impressions... I would say just the first episode it was kind of uninteresting, but to someone who's already familiar with the universe, I kind of assumed as much.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, without going into details of episode two, it kind of like gaining traction of me being interested. It improved a whole lot of my
If the other episodes are more like that going forward, I will give the show high praises.
Yeah, it was very entertaining to watch, and it's like, yep, this is just full
out. The fun thing though,
with
the first episode, you don't only follow the person in the vault; you kind of follow the soldier kid as well, the knight dude.
Brotherhood of Metal. You're following. Yeah. You're being introduced to like several main characters' story, which run parallel. Which eventually meets somewhere down the line.
Yeah, because it will be good to mention, not everyone got a place in the vault when the nuclear apocalypse happened. Mm. Some people survived on the surface.
With some effects.
For better or worse. So yeah, it's a post-apocalyptic adventure. It seems good thus far.
And it brings curiosity to where this adventure leads and what they'll stumble upon during this adventure. It's like the kind of the same curiosity as when you're starting a new Fallout game. It's like, what the fuck am I going to expect here? I don't know. Let's go find out.
And they have gotten in a bit of, I won't say comedy, but humor in it as well.
Yeah,
Not intentional humor by the character standards, but for us watching it, because the people grew up in the vault have followed a set of rules in the vault, and the surface dwellers, let's call it that, they have had to survive the nuclear fallout and everything, and have other sets of rules, let's say, they have to abide by. So that makes for some funny moments as well.
Pretty much the mentality of survival of the fittest, and so on. Yeah,
it doesn't take it too serious.
No, it's not a super serious show, even though the like people are dying and stuff. But
it's like silly kind of fighting.
Yeah, it's not a super serious show thus far. But yeah, I don't mind either way. If they just do it right. If they just...
And the right way is the good way.
Not necessarily. I wouldn't mind a bad ending.
Because it's also important to say that the show isn't based on the games. They are just set in the same universe.
Well, they got the same story as Fallout 3.
Potentially, I don't know. But it isn't the same. It's a different world altogether.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting show if you like post-apocalyptic things.
And I don't want to drone too much about it because that's just first impressions based off of the first and second episode. But
we will come back to you when we all have watched it this weekend.
I won't have finished the show by next week because I watch it with my son and he's only living with me every other week. So
get your son back.
But I'm also watching shows with my daughter. Different.
Hey, son, we are watching Fallout.
Yeah, I saw the other episodes are a bit shorter. Like they get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter for a while, from over 1 hour to 45 minutes, and then they. Yeah. The two last episodes will be closer to an hour again.
Mm.
But I think it's a good show thus far.
Yeah, likewise.
So let's move on. Just take them as in order they're written in. Trump.
What's this with Trump? As you may have picked up, the Trump trials are on with the hush money and all of the alleged frauds that's been going on. And I haven't paid attention to the trials themselves. They're ongoing. They're supposed to go on for four or five weeks more. It's a long process. But they've started like earlier... last week, actually.
It's probably the best trial ever.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not giving it too much attention. But I did pick up that a man in protest of, Trump as a lot of things, went outside of the where this court was being held, and he basically yelled some he spread around him some like papers saying this and that. On one of them is like, Trump is with Biden and they're about to fascist coup us, and like being wholly a protester of like Trump as a person. And then he doused himself in a flammable liquid and set himself on fire.
Holy shit, that's metal.
Yeah, that's that act in itself draws some attention. And it's like, yeah, this person is dedicated to his cause. But what the fuck does it do with... Does it help? Does it... Personally, I think acts like that are just wasted.
Tell that to the monk who set himself on fire.
Yeah.
That's the most famous monk.
No, but in this case, though, it's like, yeah, you drew some attention to, like, you are a... How do you properly phrase it? You're so against it, you're willing to sacrifice your life for your cause. It's like,
dedication.
It speaks volumes of your dedication. This is your final mission, to spread this this message.
Did he die though?
Yes, he's dead. He burned alive. Shock and awe.
So he was an idiot.
He got some message across, I guess, but ultimately, was the sacrifice worth it?
Probably not.
Maybe.
For me, I wouldn't have done it, but it's... to me, it seems...
Yeah, what cause would you actually set yourself on fire for?
I wouldn't ever set myself on fire.
No.
That shit hurts.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. Like, fuck Acer! Ooh, fuck Nvidia! Yeah,
Acer. I know I'm not that passionate about anything that I'm willing to to set myself on fire for. It's
yeah, I guess it's unimaginable.
Yeah, for me, it's unimaginable to set myself on fire for any cause to spread a message. But so to me, it seems like a waste of life for him and his family and friends. Yeah.
Rip, so, I guess.
Yeah, it's just.
Yeah, it's like we are.
People do the stupidest things for a number of reasons, like climate activists gluing themselves to the road.
Yeah, being a protesters of traffic or just pollution,
climate stuff, right, and pollution,
and climate change, and by protesting, they like. Was it in Germany where
they are fans of gluing themselves to the road?
Yes, they glued themselves to the tarmac, and the police force was like, "No, you got yourself in this situation. Go help yourselves out." And it's like, "Oh God, no!" But in the end, they were forced to help them because
I think the fire department had to chisel their hands out or something.
Yeah. And I think we mentioned earlier on who's going to pay for the damages. I was like, maybe the people caused it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, imagining that they should be taken away from healthcare, right?
Yeah. Using your healthcare rights because you caused property damage?
No, because you glued your hands to the tarmac.
Ah, right, because you yourself caused the damage. Therefore, you are not entitled to receive healthcare for that damage. Is that what you're...
Yeah, in a political way, right?
Because I think in America that probably would be so, because would the insurance company
cover the
healthcare for that?
No, I cannot imagine it.
But I can't speak for Germany, because I don't know how their health system works, but I think it's kind of similar to ours.
Yeah, I guess, but...
Which tax money pays.
If I ever agreed to the US healthcare system at some point, if they had some line that says your damages will not be covered if it was self-imposed willingly, well then, sure, maybe I would agree, but otherwise... But hey... That's another story. The US healthcare is a joke, but hey.
Yeah, I think they want the kind of healthcare we have, but they're not willing to do so. Use more tax money on it. Because more taxes are apparently bad, according to Americans.
Well, okay. Bad for some, good for others.
So, Bjorn, what is this steampunk rally of yours?
Steampunk Rally is a board game which I played at a board game night in our local neighboring town.
So you're not participating in a rally with steampunk people?
No. Aww. But we played a board game called Steampunk Rally, and it was... Damn, that was fun. It was... Your whole mission... is to have a race, and you're building a steampunk machine, which you're supposed to balance in terms of powers and speed so that you get far ahead of the others, but you're not sustaining so much damage that you explode your or destroy your vehicle, and therefore you return to start or behind the last player. It's I thought it was a very simple and boring game at first, but it turned out to be very entertaining despite it being a... It wasn't a social board game like Secret Hitler, for example. It wasn't anything like that. It was played with dice, lots of dice and cards that were like parts of the machine you were assigned to, and you could add parts to like wheels, you could add wings, and you could add engines, and you had different types of fuels which different parts of your machine requires to run. It was a very entertaining game, so I don't want to talk too much about it, but it was just a board game idea if we ever needed one. So Steampunk Rally, that was like not too hard to it seemed a lot to grasp at first, but it was just, once you got the hang of it, you figured it was just, you have a lot of options, but the main goal is very simple, really. But you have a lot of options going there. So just explaining the rules seems like a lot at first.
But okay, how long is one session of this?
Well, we were, how many players were we? We were like 6-7 players, or 8 maybe. Yeah. So like we were almost a full table that board game was allowed to play at. It was recommended 3 to 8 people or something.
3 to 8, I think, is the usual going rate for many board games.
But I find it hard to estimate how long we played it, because it was it was a lot of fun, so I lost track of time. It was we played for maybe, well, mind you, it was our first round, so we spent a lot of time just being very methodical, trying to like, hey, am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to do this? Reading the cards and everything. So maybe
the first couple of rounds of any board game takes a lot longer time, because everyone has to get into what they're doing.
Yes, and so. it was all of our first time.
Mm.
8 people, first timers. Well, one of us had seen someone play the board game online, and therefore he bought it and brought it. So
okay,
That's how I bought Munchkin.
1.5 hours, I think. 1.5 hours we spent on the first round.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I know Dark Souls, the board game, is like 10 hours, so...
Yeah, that's like...
Yeah, just to give measurements.
Yeah, but it's realistically anything under 1.5, 2 hours max, I'd say.
Oh, yeah.
And you can get the hang of it. Unless you're a lot of... We spent a lot of time on our first round.
Yeah, but, yeah, as we
didn't,
do.
We didn't keep track of time. We just met up and spent a lot of time playing that game. And suddenly time just flew by. So... Steampunk Rally. But
so
that's my rant on that, unless you want to ask.
From 1 to 10, specific. Where would you rate it?
In terms of like fun and replay value, maybe 8 out of 10.
Good,
it was really fun. Yeah. Okay, and it was like, after we finished the first round, we were really compelled to like, unless we were unless we didn't have time, we would have played another round, because it compels you to play another round, see what kind of special powers you get the next round, what kind of machine you can build the next round. It has an RNG value.
It's a roguelike.
It's a roguelike. You're compelled to go on one more round because it could be better. You could get a whole different round.
So, a whole different build.
Yes, a whole different build. Literally.
Roguelike.
Yes. So, Steampunk Rally. It has my recommendation. So I think it's 3 to 8 players, I would assume. I think we were 8 people playing it. We were almost a full table. Or we were a full table.
A lot of assumptions here.
I intended to talk about this earlier, but we've delayed our podcast, so things are... It's been a while since then. But still recall having fun.
So to end us off, The Prestige, Björn. It's an older movie.
Yes, it's a movie from 2006. So, but I won't spoil anything. No! But it's a 2006 movie starring Christian Bale and...
it's 18 years old.
Yes, Hugh Jackman. People born in 2006 are allowed to drink this year in Norway. Damn, we're old. but anyways, The Prestige from 2006 with Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman. Scarlett Johansson and...
A few others,
yeah. Well, it's a movie where two apprentice magicians during the late 1800s compete to become the best magician in London. And I won't spoil this because that's the whole brilliance of the movie. They say somewhere along the lines of... Whenever the secret gets spoiled, there is no more entertainment. The fun, the secret of the trick has been spoiled, and then there is no magic. The magic is lost. And that goes so well throughout the entire movie, because you're always wondering what the next trick of the competitor of Christian Bale or Hugh Jackman, what their next trick is going to be to up their competitor, to one-up the other, right? And it's a grand crescendo of the ultimate magic trick on stage. It's brilliant. And I won't spoil it because that will spoil the whole movie. Because that's the thing. If you spoil the trick, if you spoil the plot, you'll also spoil the movie. It has no... I wouldn't say the movie has no replay value, but... If you know the ending of the movie, you at the same time know the magic trick. Therefore, the magic is gone. So
not necessarily, it's kind of though.
Not necessarily, but I felt that way from my first time watching it very recently. I watched it just before this podcast. So
the magic trick is explosion.
No.
Fetus to fetus.
No.
Fetus to fetus.
I used to watch a magic show. The name was Fools or something with Penn and Teller, where they are judges and other people are coming on and doing magic tricks before them, and Penn and Teller is trying to figure out if they can reveal how the trick were done. They don't reveal it to us, but they will discuss it with the participant, and if they guess right or whatever, the participant loses, and if they fool them, they will win a prize and stuff like
that. Fool Penn and Teller. Yeah. It's somewhere along those lines.
But Penn and Teller are banned from the Hall of Fame of magicians or something because they do reveal their tricks. It's one of their gimmicks. So they got banned for it because they do reveal a lot of tricks. Not all, but one trick here and one trick there they will reveal. But I'm still fascinated due to the sleight of hand techniques and motions and everything. Because even though I know how they do it, I can never spot it when I see the trick again.
Mm. Well, that's just one extra point for hey, even despite me knowing what the trick is, I can't spot the switch or something.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's so smooth. So, because that's what magic is. It's illusion and distractions. Right? So, I'm fascinated by it, but I would not be a magician myself.
It's a lot of deception, sleight of hand, distractions. I just wanted to rant about a good movie. It's rated very highly still on IMDb. It has an 8.5 rating.
Yeah, that's good.
In the average rating is 8.5 for an 18-year-old movie. So, yeah. That's fucking impressive.
Yeah. And with that, we will magically disappear from the screen today.
Explosion!
So if you like what we do, please donate money to us or follow our social medias. And with that, I want to say goodbye.
Adios.
Goodbye.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.